Dreams?
No, bitchy ones. As in dead Loxy Flash, bitching about being dead. Everybody's fault but hers, right? Until you wanted to punch her in her whiny face. But since she's dead, what's the point? I'd say your subconscious recognizes your latest victim contributed to her own fate, and if personality follows into death, she'd bitch and cast the blame about. Yeah. She deserved a good punch in the face, but she didn't deserve murder. Or having her last moments splashed all over the internet and gossip venues. So, she drained her coffee where she stood. Morgue, she grumbled, and headed for the shower. She just started to work out the basic outline of her morning when Rourke stepped in behind her into the hot crisscrossing jets. His arms came around her. That hard, wet body pressed against her back, and she lost her train of thought. A little life to start off the day. His hands slid down to her center, and to counterbalance the morgue. When you put it like that, she started to turn around, turn into him, and found herself pressed to the tiles. We'll just have to make it quick. His fingers slid into her, shot her straight to peak, even as his teeth grazed over the back of her neck. She splayed her hands on the tiles, prepared to push off, pivot somehow, and grab onto him. But he thrust inside her, destroyed her with hard, fast strokes. Her vision blurred, crazed pleasure, rising steam, the pulsing beat of water. So she closed her eyes. Surrendered. She heard the helpless sound she made, echoing, drowning under the hot rain. And everything in her tightened, clung, hung on that sharp, stunning edge between pleasure and panic. Then fell. Somewhere, somehow, she felt his heart pounding against her back and his lips brushing against the side of her neck. Felt his grip become a caress before he turned her. Once again she looked straight into his eyes and thought she'd fallen into that perfect blue sea after all. She skimmed her fingers through his wet hair. I guess the words, wow. His lips curved as she brushed hers over them. Something about having my naked wife serve me coffee in bed, I suppose. She held on to him another moment. Decided dreams of the bitching dead and trips to the morgue really could be counterbalanced. Then she nudged him away. Okay, that's done. Now hands off, pal. I've gotta move. She finished showering, hopped in the drying tube, and, grabbing the robe off the back of the door, went out for a second hit of coffee. She'd programmed breakfast by the time he came out, a towel slung around his hips. Hungry. Are you? I am now. He grabbed a robe for himself so he could join her, and, after removing warming domes, sat a moment in silence. You programmed oatmeal. Yeah, so? What? Damn it! He sat back, laughing at her shocked consternation. You've screwed with my subconscious. I should be eating waffles. He patted her leg. Tomorrow, waffles it is. Whoever gets to the AC first. Since she just continued to scowl at the bowl, he doctored up the oatmeal as he knew she liked or tolerated. It's a good choice. We're caught in this cold snap, dipping down from Canada. We'll be lucky to hit 20 degrees today. Canada's got no business dipping down here, so the rest of us have to eat oatmeal. But she ate it and comforted herself with berries. What can I do to help today, if I manage to find some time for it? You can let me know if you know any rich old ladies with a greedy, murderous son who plays the biddable and a daughter who can be framed. He considered as he ate. I likely have a passing acquaintance with a few. Next, Vic. She'll have her target selected and set up. I don't know how long she'll wait to move on it now, whether she'll push or step back. But if the bartender comes through with Yancey, I'll have a face. And maybe Harvo finds something on the damn coat. Maybe we turn up the dreads and get something off them. Loxy made it easy for her, but she still moved too fast and she made mistakes. I've got to dig deeper into Delaware, she continued, as she got up to go to her closet. Especially if I have a face. She had a life there. She lived somewhere, worked somewhere, shopped, ate, has a history there, maybe family. She thought it through while she dressed, came out to find Rourke knotting a wine-colored tie with thin gray stripes. The gray matched his shirt exactly and came in a few tones lighter than the suit. As she strapped on her weapon, she saw him pick up the gray button he always carried, slide it into his pocket, and felt a stupefying wave of love. She rubbed a hand over the diamond under her sweater. Here was the cop, sentimental over a big, fat diamond, and the gazillionaire sappy over some stray button. What a pair they were. Lux bullshit. He glanced over. Darlin' Eve, those are fighting words for an Irishman. Lux bullshit, she repeated, and put a hunter green jacket over a sweater the color of Mira's tea. Except when it isn't. I'm feeling pretty lucky to wake up with you. Then there's the whole getting nailed in the shower, even if oatmeal followed. I can't say that counterbalances Strongbow's luck last night, but it's given me a damn good start to the day. Eve filled her jacket pockets with her usual paraphernalia. She doesn't have that, not just the waking up and getting nailed. She might have a rush from the kill, but she's gotta be worried. She got spotted, chased, left possessions behind. She has to worry about that. She has to worry about me. Now he studied her as she'd studied him. How will she write you in, Lieutenant? Can't say. But I can guarantee her story isn't gonna have a happy ending. Thinking of stories, of endings, she sent Feeney a long text as she drove downtown along madly slippery streets. Attached are several writing samples from my prime suspect in the three murders associated with Blaine Delano's Dark series. If you're not up to date, McNabb can brief you. Is it possible to run an analysis of the writing? Do a global search for similar styles, word uses, blah blah, focusing on sites for writers, wannabe types, especially places where they can put up samples of their work for others to read? I can have Peabody start a search on social media sites. Suspect wrote a manuscript titled Hot Blood, Cold Mind, but my searches for the title on self-publishing types, social media, and so forth gets bupkis. On my way to the morgue now to see what Morris can tell me about her third Vic. I'll be in Central in about an hour if you need any clarification. Appreciate it. Dallas. Long shot, Eve thought. She wasn't confident Strongbow would put her work out there for comments or criticism. But maybe, maybe, there was a hunger that needed feeding. Maybe she'd risk it. Eve's DLE handled the ice patches with barely a shudder, and certainly better than the pair of rapid cabs she saw crunch together on 9th between 35th and 34th. Still, She couldn't deny relief when she could get out of the damn car, off the damn streets, and into the white tunnel of the morgue. Halfway down, she heard the unmistakable Peabody clump behind her. She paused in the air that smelled of chemical cleaning, fake lemon, and death. Bundled like a candied Eskimo in her pink coat, pink fuzzy-topped boots, a scarf in bleeding shades of blue with pink fringe, an ear-flap hat in the same pattern with bouncing pom-poms, Peabody clumped to catch up. "I take it back about the dumbass wind goggles. I wish I'd had a pair just for the walk to and from the subway." "Blame Canada," Eve told her. "It's a change-up from blaming February. I've been looking at gardening sites. We're going to do some window boxes, plant herbs and stuff. I shouldn't have started thinking about spring." "Maybe we'll blame you, then." Eve kept walking and pushed through Morris's double doors. He'd gone for a black turtleneck rather than a shirt and tie, and who could blame him? It gave the steel-blue suit a sort of artsy vibe. He'd wound his hair into a single thick braid that hung down the back of his protective cloak. "Here we are again," he said. She wouldn't listen. Hit the club, drank the drink. Vodka, a whiff of vermouth, pomegranate juice, and a lethal twist of cyanide. That's in addition to the buzz, erotica, zoner, and the champagne cocktail, champagne, bitters, sugar substitute, and a splash of grenadine, already in her system. "That's fast work on the tox. I started on her last night. We had several unexpected guests, weather-related." "You've been here all night?" Considering the weather and the state of the roads, it seemed wiser to spend the night with the dead rather than risk joining them. "I have a very comfortable sofa here. It's unfortunate my house here doesn't run to anything approaching decent coffee." "Peabody."
"On it."
"No, no." He waved a hand in the air. "Don't go out in this urban Arctic on my account." "Just to my vehicle," Eve told him. "I have the real deal in its AC." "Then I'd be grateful." Eve waited until Peabody scurried off. Plus, it gets her out of this part. She hates this part. Some never fully adjust. He looked down at Loxy Flash, naked, chest still splayed open from the Y-cut. "Here you have a young woman, only a few years over the legal age, whose body has already been ravaged by addictions. Kidneys, liver, heart, lungs, all already showing signs of that abuse. If she'd continued down this path, it's unlikely she'd have seen 40. Of course, she didn't have the chance to continue or to stop. She had the chance. She didn't take it. Cyanide confirmed COD. Yes, and the TOD from your gauge confirmed. You see the cherry red skin color. There are a couple of hairline fractures on her ribs I'd speculate came from an attempt at CPR. There was an attempt. The lack of bruising there indicates it was already too late. The cyanide salts she ingested would have acted quickly. The tats and piercings, as you see. She was a bit overweight, and considering the lack of muscle tone, didn't exercise. She had breast enhancements, and was wearing nipple clamps when delivered to us. She has little else to say. A life hard lived, hard ended. Peabody came back with a small pot.
"I grabbed this out of your office, programmed you 3 cups from the DLE's AC, dumped them in."
"You're a genius."
"I couldn't remember how you take it."
"At this moment, with great gratitude." If anything else shows up with her, Eve told Morris, let me know. Otherwise, you've given me what I expected. I don't think she's holding any secrets now, but we'll finish. I haven't heard from next of kin as yet. If you don't, her ex said he'd make her arrangements. Let's hit it, Peabody. Be safe out there, Morris called after them. And my eternal thanks for the coffee. I didn't stall, Peabody began, and Eve shook her head. Straightforward poisoning, no surprises. Unless you consider the fact she was slowly killing herself with alcohol, illegals, and bad choices a surprise. I don't. You can start trying to nail down where Strongbow got her hands on cyanide salts. Let's give the next of kin another 24 before contacting Glaze. Once she slid behind the wheel, Eve sat a moment, organizing her thoughts. We're going to focus on looking for the next target. Try to get ahead of her. In the book, the Vic was 68. So let's go from 60 to 75. She was worth about 260 mil. We're going to go from 2 mil up to 4. She can be widowed or divorced. The fictional Vic had been both, but she won't be currently married or cohabbing. She'll have a son and a daughter, maybe other offspring, but she'll have to have one of each. I reread parts of it last night before I got the call from dispatch. I can start a search. Okay. Unless Harvo pulled an all-nighter like Morris, she hasn't had time to get us anything yet, but we need to keep on that. I want Yancey all over the sketch. We push on the canvas for the damn dreads. Can I have hot chocolate? Peabody offered a winsome smile. I fantasized about it on the hike from the subway. Go. Eve flicked a hand at the in-dash. She drove to Central, saw with some astonishment a couple of kids sliding down the sidewalk on what looked like flattened cardboard. Why aren't their asses frozen? Probably because they're only 10-year-old asses. She handed Eve a go-cup of coffee. I've been thinking about the coats. The two she made. Well, three, since one was reversible. She has to have a professional machine, like I said. Something that will handle the heavier materials, the heavier thread. She probably brought it with her to Brooklyn. If she's on a budget, buying one's a big expense, so with her skill level, she probably had it before, hauled it, or had it shipped up here. Maybe we can track it. We need to push into Delaware. That's another angle there. If she had her own professional machine, she likely did work out of her own place, either full or part-time. Do you need a license for that? Considering, Peabody pursed her lips. Maybe a certification? I'll check. If she sewed under the table, I mean, didn't report sales or fees, that's a harder route to follow, but she'd have had some reportable income or big flag. She'd need a certification or a tax ID to buy supplies wholesale. She'd want that, Eve concluded. She'd need to maximize income. Start playing those angles back in Delaware, and we'll keep on them in Brooklyn. She pulled into a lot at Central, shuffling the agenda in her head. Start digging on the license or certification or whatever the hell for tailoring. Female, in Delaware, and cross with any lapses in the last 2 years. Lapses or transfers to New York. We'll look for employment, income from tailoring, seamstressing in Delaware, and again the lapse that fits our timeline. Eve got out, headed to the elevators. I'll push on Harvo, take another look at the Transit Authority feed, and see if we can track her from the stop in Brooklyn last night. Even in a stupid fur hoodie, it was freaking cold, so maybe she took a cab or a bus. As the elevator doors opened, something, some compact missile with arms and legs, launched out. It slammed Peabody on the fly, knocking her back and down. At the same instant, Eve managed to pivot, catch the missile on her shoulder, use its momentum to flip it over. A clatter of footsteps on the iron steps echoed with Peabody's breathless curse. Eve pivoted again, but wasn't quite quick enough to avoid one of the limbs, a foot from glancing off her jaw, another from banging into her ribs, before she dropped bodily on the now cackling man, she realized. A very small man with a really long beard. She said, "Fuck, fuck, fuck me," as she held him down, shifting to pull her restraints off her belt. He continued to cackle, to wriggle, as Peabody gained her hands and knees and the thundering footsteps became a pair of breathless uniforms. "Little asshole," one of them spewed, as Eve finally clamped on the restraints. "He just all of a sudden went batshit." Eve sat on the little asshole, eyeing the uniforms balefully. "What the fucking fuck?" "Sir, he came in to report an assault," he said, "and we were starting to process when he went batshit. He took off for the elevator like he had wings on his tiny little feet." Eve looked down at the crazed, glassy eyes of a man who looked like a creepy garden gnome. "And neither of you could tell he's on something that makes him think he can fly? Get him in the tank. He assaulted an officer. Peabody, your status."
I'm okay. Wrapped my head pretty good."
She reached around, probed with her fingertips.
"Ow!
Haul his tiny stupid ass up the steps." Eve dragged him up, shoved him at the uniforms. "Two counts of assaulting an officer," she said, rubbing her stinging jaw. "Find out what he ingested, popped, or smoked.
For Christ's sake!" "I love you, sweetie cheeks," the tiny wriggling man shouted at Eve. "Wanna kiss your boobies?"
"Yeah? Well, I want to kick your tiny ass.
We'll both live with the disappointment."
She gripped Peabody's arm, guided her into the elevator.
"Boobies!"
he shouted before the elevator doors shut. "I'm surrounded by boobies. Do you need medical?"
"I don't think..." "Were we just slammed by a giggling bearded dwarf?"
"You were." "Then I probably only need an ice pack. And a blocker." "Get both."
"Goddamn world's full of goddamn crazy people."
The elevator doors opened. Several people started to get on. Eve snarled. Several people backed off. She repeated the process all the way to homicide, where once again she gripped Peabody's arm and dragged her to the bullpen. "Somebody get Peabody an ice pack and a damn blocker." Baxter swiveled in his chair.
"You take a hit, Peabody?"
"I got decked by a flying dwarf."
"I can't count the times that's happened to me."
But he rose, patted her cheek.
"I've got you covered. Let's get your coat off, sweetie."
Across the bullpen, Santiago pulled open a drawer on his desk.
"Got your blocker, Peabody."
Someone else came up with a tube of water, and the reliable and earnest Trueheart trotted over with an ice pack. Satisfied her partner would live through the morning, Eve started to turn away and walk to her office. She caught the scent of fat, yeast, sugar. Narrowed her eyes as Nadine walked in with a bakery box. And with a rock star. The blue line dissolved in the scent of fresh donuts. Nadine, wisely, pushed the box at Eve and avoided a stampede.
"Are you all right, Peabody?"
"I got slammed by a flying dwarf. Hit my head."
"A flying dwarf?"
Nadine repeated with a look of concern at Eve.
"It happens. What do you want, Nadine? We're a little busy."
I come with baked goods and some potential information. If you aren't interested, my office. Eve set the box on Peabody's desk, gave her men the hard eye. She gets the first, or I hear about it.
Aw,
Peabody said as Eve stalked away. What information? Eve demanded. I'm not bullshitting about the busy, and Peabody's eyes are still wheeling around in her head. Tall, built, and handsome, in a been-there-done-that sort of way, Jake glanced over his shoulder. Where did the flying dwarf come from? The elevator. Eve headed straight for the auto chef, as her to-go cup of coffee had splatted on the garage floor. You're here because I was going to look you up later, see if you could tell me anything about Glaze and Loxy Flash. Actually, that's why... Jake trailed off as he caught sight of her murder board. Eve programmed three coffees, gave him a once-over. If you're sensitive, we can take this elsewhere. I wouldn't have thought, but... That's pretty harsh. I guess usual for you, like flying dwarves. She reassessed him. She'd only met him once, under tense circumstances, and had found him steady. He had that tall, dark, dangerous look she knew some women went for. She assumed he had more going for him if Nadine was flustered over him. He turned to Eve now, gestured toward her face with a long finger. It looks like you got a slam, too. The dwarf had feet in really hard shoes, and her ribs ached at the moment like a bad tooth. Sorry, crap mood. Getting kicked in the face by a dwarf's bound to sour the mood. Jake took the coffee she offered. Thanks. Listen, I heard about Loxy. It's all over the everywhere. Nadine figured I should come in, talk to you. Talk, she gestured toward her visitor's chair. He sat, winced a little. Does this chair have teeth? Apparently. Glazier's been recording at your place. Right. Jake shoved at his long tousled hair. I want to say he's turned himself around, and it's not always easy in our game. He's been an asshole, but he's young, and it's almost required you're an asshole when you're young and rocking it. Are you an asshole? Jesus, Dallas! It's fair, Jake said to Nadine with a spark of humor in crystal blue eyes. I'm not so young, and while I had asshole moments, I decided early on the music was more important than the party, even than the sex. Though that can run neck and neck in some cases. Glaze took a while to get there, made some idiot choices, but he's on the road. Loxy was a big pothole in that road. The humor died as he glanced down at the coffee in his hand. I'm sorry she's dead. I'm sorry she died like she did. But Glaze had already driven around that pothole and moved on. He wouldn't have hurt her. Do you know who would have? Jake looked at Nadine. You can be straight, Nadine said in a way that told Eve she had said the same before. She won't think less of you. I think a little less of me for saying it, but okay. She was one prime bitch. Selfish, mean as a rattler, with no sense of loyalty. My opinion? She wanted Glaze more after he didn't want her. Dog in the manger. She had a dog? For a moment, Jake just stared. It's an expression. Like, you want something more when you can't have it. What does that have to do with dogs and mangers? Never mind. You knew her well? Not really. I knew who and what she was. I've seen her kind, plenty. Between bouts with Glaze, she made moves on Rocky, our drummer. Our married drummer. He didn't move back. She made them on me, and just hell no. She just wanted to leech onto Rockers. That sounds harsh. Apparently he did have a sensitive side, and Eve didn't have time for it. Does being dead make her less of a bitch while she was breathing? He blew out a breath, stared down at his coffee again. No. Nadine figured I should tell you I ran into her a few days ago, and we had some harsh words. When, where, what? She came to my place, wanted to see Glaze. They were recording. I was going to lay some tracks with them, so I was around. I saw her on the security. I didn't say anything to Glaze. She's a distraction. Was, he corrected. I went to the door, told her to blow. She told me to suck it and so on. She was high. Buzzed, most likely. She offered me a BJ if I let her in. I said shit. I said I thought too much of my dick to have her mouth on it. She took a swing at me, missed. I told her if she came back, if she tried any of that shit again, I'd twist her up. And I shut the door on her. So, I threatened her. How about you tell me where you were last night at about 2200? Is that 10 an actual time? Because about then, Lois and I were engaged in certain activities. He was at my place from about 9 o'clock last night, and we were together all night. Stop playing with him, Dallas. It's routine and procedure, Eve corrected. Did she try to come back? No, at least not when I was around. Glaze is clean. I know when someone isn't. He's seeing a real nice woman, and he's focused on staying clean, the woman and the music. This'll mess him up some, and I'm more sorry about that than her being dead, and that's harsh too, but truth. You're around the studio a lot? I live there. I work there, so, yeah. When I'm not traveling, or we're not doing a gig or promo, I'm there. Did you ever notice a woman hanging around? Before she could finish, he flashed a grin, the one that told her just what flustered Nadine. Maybe one or two. A specific woman, Eve continued. About 5'6", on the lean side, red hair, blue side dreads, hitting around 40, a couple of times. She went on alert. Outside the studio? Across the street. I nearly ran into her. I think the same day as Loxie. I was coming back from a meeting to lay those tracks, and she must have been camped out, like I'd seen her a couple times. She sort of bumped into me, then freaked. I started to say something, but she jerked back and took off running. Didn't think much of it. We get the type. You, Eve jabbed a finger at Nadine to silence her. How good a look did you get? Face to face is a pretty good look. Off the record, Eve snapped at Nadine. I need you to work with our police artist. Jake lifted his eyebrows. You think that strange, spooky woman's involved? You were face to face with a strange, spooky woman who's killed 3 people. Nadine, none of this goes out. I know the damn drill, Dallas. I need a one-on-one update. Can't do it. Listen, if you get 2 from me in as many days, it'll rub too many feathers. I'm giving you an according to an NYPSD source, name withheld, as the source doesn't have authorization to discuss the investigation. Nadine sulked a moment, then nodded. That works. That source indicates investigators conclude the murder of Loxie Flash is connected to 2 other open cases. Multiple eyewitnesses have identified a person of interest, and investigators are pursuing new leads. That's a runaround, Nadine complained. Those are facts. And we're going to have a likeness of that person of interest this morning. Wait. Add the hair and a mink hoodie. A mink hoodie? She grabbed it on the run last night. No point letting her enjoy it. Jake, I need you to come with me. Nadine, out of my office. I need to feed this to the station. Not from my office. Fine. Are you using Yancey? Yeah. I'll be there in a few minutes. She patted Jake's arm when he rose. I won't be long. It's okay. Weird, but okay. Then he dipped down, kissed her. Do what you do, Lois. 19. Eve led Jake out of the bullpen and toward a glide. There's a guy back there wearing a tie designed to fry corneas, and another guy in a cowboy hat, Jake noted. Eve said, Yes. But they're cops? Yes. This is a really weird day. Eve didn't glide on glides. She moved. Jake, long legs and jump boots, kept up with her, weaving and bobbing. She noted he got a lot of double takes, chin and finger points along the way. Apparently, he didn't consider being recognized every 5 seconds part of a weird day. She caught a movement, glanced back to see a woman barreling up the glide with a wild look in her eyes, so Eve finger-pointed herself. No, she said, firm and cool.
But I just wanna...
No. Jake flashed a smile over his shoulder as he quickened his steps to match Eve's pace. Maybe later.
I love you, Jake,
the woman shouted, with, Eve noted, a glimmer of tears in her eyes. Is that usual? She asked. He shrugged. It happens. Did you really get kicked in the face by a dwarf? It happens. When he laughed, Eve decided he was, possibly, okay. Since you had that face-to-face, Eve began, did you notice her eye color? Brown. Maybe hazel-leaning brown. You pay attention. I like looking at women, he said easily. All kinds of women. The one who just confessed her love for you. Can you describe her? Heading toward 40. Not quite there yet. Pretty blue eyes, a lot of dark blonde hair. Wavy, not curly. Is this a test? You did okay. She was wearing a wedding ring, he added. Not everybody does who is... You do, but it's something I like to notice. Not a bad policy. How about the redhead? Did you notice any jewelry? Skull earrings, now that you mention it. She had gloves on, so I can't say if she wore a ring. Keeping up the pace, she wound him through to Yancey's division and saw Brad the bartender already there. Brad spotted her, and the initial look of relief in his exhausted eyes turned to wide-eyed stunned when he recognized Jake. Lieutenant, Dallas. Right. This is so chill. I mean, it's awful. I've been trying... Jake Kincaid. Wow. Iced. Detective Yancey, Mr. Kincaid also got a good look at the suspect. You were there? Another time and place, Eve said, before Brad could stammer out more. We appreciate you coming in this morning, Brad. Didn't get any sleep anyway. I got a good look at her, I did. It's just harder to, like, see her now. The lights in there are whack on purpose, so... We're getting there. Yancey, only a few years Brad's senior, offered the bartender an encouraging smile. Eve imagined Yancey looked more like an artist than a cop, with the curly, dark hair, the soulful eyes. But he was damn good at both. Let's see what you've got so far. As Yancey worked both by hand and by comp, he turned his sketchbook around. She'd worked with less, Eve thought as she studied the sketch. But she'd have judged the woman the face represented to be in her late 20s, and the hair dominated the face itself. "We haven't been at it long," Yancey told her. "Just really getting down to it." "More than we had." "Does this match your impression, Jake?" "Well, she's a good 10 years older than she looks here. She's got some wear. Don't mean any disrespect." "We're not here to respect her," Eve pointed out. "Okay, so..." Head angled, he studied the sketch. "She's got some wear, you know. Lines starting." He started to reach for one of Yancey's pencils, stopped himself. "Out from the eyes, beside the mouth." "Do you draw?" Yancey asked him. "I fool around." "Why don't you go ahead and show me?" "I don't want to mess it up." "It's already comp-logged. Go ahead." "Okay, so..." Jake took the pencil. "I'd say her eyes are a little rounder. More like..." He rounded them subtly, smudged some lines at the corner with the side of a calloused thumb. "And maybe a little broader nose. It seemed broader because her face is narrow, and it narrows more at the chin, like... that. Then the expression lines here. And I want to say she looked sallow, like somebody who doesn't get out much in the sun." "That's right," Brad murmured. "That's really right. Her mouth's smaller than what I said, isn't it?" "I was going to say tighter, but yeah. Her features don't really balance. It's just a click or two off. She's not..." Jake passed the pencil back to Yancey. "It feels wrong to diss a woman in front of a woman." "A cop," Eve corrected. "You want to say she's not attractive?" "Not like dead ugly, but not the sort you look at twice. A fader, if you get me. The hair was all, look at me, I'm on it, but it didn't go with the rest of her. She was trying to be what she wasn't. Trying for younger, edgier, and just missing the mark. Wanted to be with," Brad supplied, "and she's without." Yancey worked on the mouth, redefined the chin. Eve studied the sketch. Heavily lined eyes, darkly dyed mouth, the dreads falling on either side of the face, closing it in. "It's a good likeness," Jake commented. "It's a real skill to be able to draw a likeness that good of somebody just from other people's bits and pieces." "We'll run it," Eve said. "Log that. Copy and send," she told Yancey. "And can you do another? Take away the heavy makeup, the dreads? Jake says brown eyes, possibly hazel, so go with brown hair." "Playtime." Yancey rolled his shoulders, swiveled to the computer, and began some tech magic. On screen, the dreads vanished. He filled in temples, cheeks, and side jawlines. Layer by layer, he brushed away the thick eyeliner, the thickened lashes, took the eyebrows from dark and bold to a calmer brown. The lips went from hard red to pale, almost undefined. "Yeah, a fader," Jake murmured, as her hair faded to a nondescript brown. Before Eve could speak, Yancey held up a finger. "Give me a second." He redefined here, smudged there, deepened some of the lines. "Naked face. They'd show more," he muttered. Eve leaned over his shoulder, studied the result. "There you are, bitch. There you fucking are." Satisfied, Yancey nodded. "I can start facial recognition here. Do that, send it to me, and I'll back that up. Damn good work. Go home, Brad, get some sleep." "I helped?" She wanted to get to it, to start this part of the hunt with the scent inside her. But she took a moment. He looked so damn young and so damn tired. "You helped now, you helped last night." "The flash is still dead." "Not a damn thing you could have done to change that." There's another life on the line now, and what you did last night, what you did right here, could help save that one. Tagging me, that was smart. Chasing after her, that was brave. Coming here, that was responsible. You hit all three marks. Go home and sleep. Will you let me know when you get her? I'll sure sleep better when you do. I'll let you know. Do you need transpo? No, thanks. Thanks, Detective Yancey. Back at you, bro. I know it's whack timing and all, but man, it's like the alt meeting you, Jake. Another back at you. Jake shook his hand, and Brad walked off grinning. Got a book. Again, good work, Yancey, Eve said. Nice meeting you, Jake added to Yancey. I'll go with the whack timing, the ult, and add, Night Run still bangs all the bells. Appreciate it. Jake had to stretch his long legs to keep up with Eve's. What do you do now? The job. Sorry, she said quickly. You were a big help, more than usual, so we got this likeness nailed fast. There's another life on the line? That wasn't bullshit to make Brad feel better, because it did. The idea that he helped, I mean. He did help, and no, it's not bullshit. You're in line on helping save that life, too. Nadine came clicking along in her high-heeled boots before Eve reached the glide. I got hung up, she began, and you were fast. Don't tell me you got her. You got her? You said don't tell you. Eve hopped on the glide. Nadine reversed course, hopped on behind her. Let me see her. No. God damn it, Dallas. You can't broadcast the sketch unless the commander gives that a green, and he's not going to give it a green at this time. If I broadcast it, odds are somebody's seen her, can lead you to her. Odds are shorter she rabbits. If I don't have her in the box or a cage within 36, that's another story. It's my story. My case. Your case, my story. They're not opposed. I damn well helped you get this far this fast. You'll get your story when I close my case. Jesus, you guys are sexy. Sorry, Jake said, without a hint of remorse when they both blasted him with stares. Thinking out loud. But facts are facts. Sexy is sexy. Do you ever go at each other like that when you're, you know, more casually attired? Don't respond, Nadine said. It only encourages him. Run with what you've got, Eve advised, and within 36, less, she thought, less, you'll have the rest. With that, she vaulted over the side of the glide, dropped down 2 feet, and bolted. Nadine hissed after her. Jake grinned. I like her. Eve double-timed it into homicide. We've got a face, she snapped at Peabody as she continued straight into her office. She pulled up the file Yancey sent, programmed for facial recognition, then printed out hard copies. When Peabody hustled in, Eve slapped the sketch on her board. That's her? She looks harmless, Eve finished. Part of her arsenal, looking harmless. Being so bland, she can morph into anyone. A fader, Jake said, and that's just right. She can fade into the characters she chooses. And right now, she's got some rich woman in her crosshairs. We are not going to let her take that shot. McNabb tagged me. Said they're working on a search for you and have a first pass. Where is it? They're refining it. He says it's too broad and they're working on narrowing it. How fast will she move? Pacing the confines of her office, Eve kept that face in her line of vision. That's the question. She won't be in the system, so the facial match may take longer. She won't have done anything up until now to get noticed. Maybe we'll find some mental, emotional treatments in her medicals when we nail her down, but that's no given. Nothing to stand out. She's a good seamstress. Better than good.
Yeah. You do that alone.
And to make a living, you do it for other people who get to wear what you make or alter, right? Do they notice you? Do they give you a second thought? Like the line chef in a restaurant who's sweating it out to make the meal you order? Behind the scenes, under the radar. Writing. Now, you get your name out there. Bullshit Book by A.E. Strongbow. You get recognition, praise, maybe some fame and fortune. Here I fucking am. It's her turn, goddammit. Finally, her turn. Eve swung around, drilled a finger into Strongbow's face. How does she gain access to the rich woman? In the book, the greedy son argues with the rich mother, ends up shoving her. She falls down the stairs, breaks her neck. He manages to pin it on his sister because said sister had a public tiff with the dead mother just that afternoon. How does she get into the house?
Disguises herself as the son?
Eve shook her head. Rich people have security. She can't get through that, pretending to be a member of the household. Security. Staff.
Delivery person? Peabody considered. Part of a cleaning crew? Newly hired staff?
Eve held up a finger. What does she do well?
Sews. Rich women hire seamstresses, right? They can have them come to their home, more private, more convenient. She's been in New York long enough to have established herself in that line of work. Has to pay the bills, and she thinks ahead. She needs a rich woman to kill.
Leonardo. Peabody shrugged. It's a long shot, but we have a direct line to a top designer. Rich women, such as yourself, use top designers. I'm not rich. Rourke's rich. Leonardo's an angle. Let's see if we can contact him. Show him the sketch. Maybe it'll ring. If not, he has plenty of contacts of his own in the business. Somebody he knows might recognize her.
I'll tag him.
Peabody looked at the sketch again.
She doesn't stand out.
Her work might, but try it. I'm going to set an alert on the search and go up to harass Feeney on his.
She can't wait long, Eve thought as she headed up to EDD.
The last chapter didn't go as she'd written. She knew she had a cop on her heels. Up until now, Strongbow had hidden in plain sight, and it worked for her. But under the crazy, she had a brain and had to know the plot had twisted on her. So, no, she wouldn't wait long. Eve walked into the colorful circus of EDD. She took a quick moment to look through the dancing, prancing e-geeks to see McNabb hard at work at his station. Hard at work, she judged, as his shoulders bopped, his fingers snapped, and his head did a kind of jibe that had his multitude of ear hoops glinting. She dived for the sanity of Feeney's office. He leaned on the side of his desk in his shit-brown suit. He had what might have been a coffee stain on his shit-brown tie, but it was hard to tell. His face, like his suit, looked comfortably baggy. She figured he'd had a recent trip to his barber, as his silver-threaded ginger hair sprang out to about half of its known capacity. He shifted his basset hound eyes from his screen to her face.
No point pushing us, kid. We're working it.
I've got a face.
Got a name and location to go with it?
Not yet. We'll get her. Problem on this end? He flicked a finger at the screen. Her writing samples hit dead average. Even some below in some of them. So we've got a hell of a lot of maybes. Eve glanced at the screen, saw words, phrases skimming by, along with figures that looked like code and numbers that looked like math. Altogether, it looked impossible. which was why she wasn't trying to do the damn search herself. Average or just below is what she is, with a couple of exceptions. She can tailor, and she can kill. She showed Feeney the printout of the sketch. You got 40 to 45, white, brown, and brown. No distinguishing anything. If she's not in the system for a bump or two, you're gonna be a while on facial. Yeah, I got that. Hides in plain sight. A fader. That's the best term for her. Jake called her a fader. Jake? You got a new man in your division? No. E frowned at the sketch, trying to see more. Jake Kincaid. Nadine's tangling with him. Didn't know she had a... Feeney straightened, shoved a finger at Eve. Jake Kincaid? Avenue fucking A? Yeah. She met him at the garden during the assault. I guess they hit it off. Feeney jabbed a finger again, this time made sharp contact. You had Jake fucking Kincaid in the house? Yeah. He'd seen in the house. Jake Kincaid. And you don't think to tag your old pal, your old partner, the one who pulled you off street duty and into homicide? His eyes looked a little fierce, a little wild. Eve eased back a step before she got poked again. No. I was kind of busy trying to get the face of a serial killer so I could, you know, discourage her from killing the next person on her list. Anyway, how was I supposed to know you'd want to meet him? Now Feeney stepped back, almost reeled back, slapped a hand to his heart. Do you even know me at all? What did I have playing when I trained you on stakeouts? Music. Rock music, she muttered when he stared holes in her. But, and who would be my favorite rock band? Mentally, she knew better than to try it physically with him staring at her. She rolled her eyes. The Stones. That is correct. What did I try and obviously fail to teach you about music? About Jagger and Clapton, about Springsteen, about Kirkland, Dobler, and Jake fucking Kincaid. They, rock? They are each the voice of their generation. My old man's and his, mine, yours. Jake Kincaid and Avenue A followed in the footsteps of the greats and made their own. Have you even heard their cover of Painted Black? But he's in our house, and you don't tell me. I'll get him back. You'll get him back. Yeah, I'll fix it. I have to go back down, but I'll fix it. She escaped. Burn It Up is the rock anthem of your generation, Feeney shouted after her. She quickened her pace, grabbed her link on the fly. Nadine, I need a favor. Nadine's feline eyes narrowed. Really? For Feeney, Eve corrected, before she ended up trading for an appearance on Now. A favor for Feeney. She fixed it, put it away, and planned to close herself in her office and will the facial recognition to hurry the hell up. Peabody waylaid her in the bullpen. Leonardo's coming in. In? He doesn't have to come in. Just show him the damn sketch. I did, and she didn't pop for him, but he was just leaving his studio anyway and said he'd come in, take another look, and maybe we can give him some details that could help. He'll talk to his team and spread the word. Okay, that works. Everything okay? You look hassled. Because I am. I am hassled. Did you know Feeney has a hard-on, musically speaking, for Jake Kincaid? Dallas, anybody who spins rock does. And for Feeney, rock's a religion. Santiago's sulking a little bit because you pulled Jake out before he could meet him. That, on top of not getting to meet Delano, has bummed him pretty wide. We're cops, Eve groaned. She turned toward the slightly sulky Santiago, then lifted her arms to the rest of the bullpen.
We're cops.
Murder cops, Baxter called out. Protecting and serving, Jenkinson added. Because you could